a pastoral epistle written to equip Timothy to lead the church in Ephesus. And we find by this the second book written that Paul is now letting Timothy know that he is going to be martyred for the Lord. And this is, in every real sense of the word, his last will and testament to the young Timothy in the faith. And so he is wanting to make sure he shores up the foundation of the principles of conducting and shepherding that Timothy needs to do to be a good shepherd. And as we look at what the instruction is given to Timothy to be a good shepherd, we, by application, look also to what is expected of us to be good ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you receive your salvation, God places you as priest on this earth. He places you as ambassadors for Him to represent His testimony, to represent His word, and to live it out in daily living. None of us do that perfectly because we wrestle with our human finiteness. In other words, we don't know everything. We wrestle with our human sinfulness. In other words, we wrestle with our sin nature, our own selfishness. And we wrestle with our lack of strength. So we're not omnipotent. We're not all powerful. We're not omniscient. We're not all knowing. And we are sin creatures, sinful creatures. So, but as we represent and strive to represent our Lord Jesus Christ, the older we walk in the faith, the more consistent we should get at it. We should be willing to be held accountable. We should be willing to be teachable when there's blind spots in our lives we're not quite seeing. And we should be committed to growing in the faith. And so as we look at what Paul was expecting and instructing of Timothy, the application is he is also expecting that of, yes, me, yes, Jordan, as Jordan has surrendered his life to a full-time Christian service. Yes, Brock, as he's trying to figure this out, what's going on? I'm going to go to some classes. I'm going to taste and see if the Lord is good. And what does God have for me? Yes, for our deacons, they have to be there. But that's no different than every Christian in this church. So please don't give yourself excuses on spiritual maturity just because you're not a pastor or a teacher or a deacon or in leadership. We're all in leadership. We all spiritually influence the unsaved. And we all spiritually influence the Christian family. So, as we look at this, let's please remember, some of the instruction is specific to Timothy, but has application. And some of it is a specific charge to you and I also. So now we're looking at chapter 2, verses 14 through 19. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 14 through 19. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their words will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So if you look at this section here, first of all, we see that Paul speaks to Timothy, his public life and his job description as a preacher. And he gives the first instruction. Put to the congregation remembrance of what I have told you. Keep reminding them of the Word of God. Now, where have we heard that before? I'm just going through 1 and 2 Peter, and what did Peter say? I grow weary in not reminding you of those things which you have heard. Be careful of those who will scratch itch, say nice, fanciful things, say things that are new, say things that are cutting edge or at least something that you've just never thought of before. If you've never thought of it before and it's coming across the pulpit and you've been saved for a period of time, it's probably something you need to throw out in the trash. Most of you adults and older folks have been under the truth long enough that you are not going to hear anything new. You're just not. Now you're going to be reminded of things, oops, I forgot that. You're going to be reminded of things just like, oh yeah, I knew that, but I forgot, and now I need to change and do this the right way again. So a pastor is to continually remind his people of the Word of God. By application, parents are to continually remind their children of the Word of God. By application, peers are to continually remind each other of the Word of God. The authority in all of our lives we agree to be is what? The Word of God. We all come and submit to the authority of the Word of God. So when Timothy is called to do that, by application, we're all called to do that. It's okay to remind each other, hold it, but doesn't the Word of God say this? Ah, yeah, you're right. Hey, are you kind of stepping out of your bounds here? Doesn't the Word of God say this? Oh yeah, you're right. And all the way down to the youngest to the oldest, as long as we say it with great respect and love, then we should be willing to hear it from each other if we truly want to be more like Christ. Because we all need somebody else to look at the mirror. You know, women in body image, it's amazing. Every time they look in the mirror, they see something that's ugly and they don't like it. They need the perspective of somebody else. You're beautiful. No, that looks great on you. No, that's, you know, you can tell I raised three daughters. And they need that perspective to have a healthy balance of their body image. They really do. Heather, my dear Heather, I hope she doesn't listen to this message, or I'll be paying for it, but is a little intimidated by the two youngers because the two youngers are taller and thinner. And she's not. This is all self-conscious about. She's also gave birth to three children. That's just also, it's just a beautiful woman. She just is. And I'm constantly reminding her she's a beautiful woman. When she looks in the mirror, she doesn't see the beauty. She sees other things, like ladies and stretch marks. My point is this. The congregation's like that. We can either look in the mirror of God's Word and be so self-condemning that we never see how God is building us and God is changing us. Or we can be so arrogant that we never see the problems and the violations of God's Word. But as family, we need to be kept in remembrance of what does God say? What does God say? So me as a preacher, that's what I need to do. And that's what I'm committing to do. I'm not giving you my opinions. I have to give you what does God say. And that is the most important for all of us. It's not what do we feel. It's not what do we think. It's what does God say. And if what I think matches up with what God says, amen. But if it doesn't, yeah, but I feel, I don't care how you feel. Now, when I say I don't care how you feel, I'm using that editorially. I mean, I have that same language with myself. I feel this way. So what, Shane? Do it. Yeah, but I don't feel like don't do it. Why? Because it's right. Why? Because God says so. Why? Because, you see, we can't go with opinions and feeling. And so congregationally, any pastor is to remind you of the Word of God. Then he comes to this very strong word. He says, charge them before the Lord. Timothy, charge them before the Lord. Put them in remembrance and charge them before the Lord that they strive not about words of no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Now really, if we look at all the times it was used in 1st and 2nd Timothy, when he's talking about quarreling about with words, he's not talking about semantics. He's not saying, oh, you used that word and that's a bad word and you should be speaking this way or speaking that way. It's the idea of giving themselves over to false teaching. That they were arguing, well, here's a false teaching. If you take the vaccine, you are taking the mark of the beast. Now, you may feel that way, but that's not doctrine. That's not Bible. Well, if you give in to the government now, then you're giving up all of your rights and you will not be able to have any constitutional rights because you are obeying the government now. Really? And the scripture says, what? You want to fight over who has to do what in our structure of politics and to change and to fight for our constitution and our constitutional rights? Is that what you want to be fighting about? Go ahead. After you've witnessed to everybody in this community. Have you verbally given the gospel to everybody in this community? Have you even given them a literature? Have you even had them over to build relationships so that they can see Christ? And what are we commanded of God to do? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Be salt and light. Do you find anywhere in the scriptures where God commands his citizens to revolt and reestablish new government? It's not there. It's not there. Now, they were fighting over endless genealogies. They were fighting over their heritage of Jews, and that the Jews were more special because they could track their genealogy, and God was working with them in an extra special way. And the Gentiles, they were second-class Christians. And in the church, what happens? Prejudice steps in, and they turn and start what? Fighting one another. False doctrine, we see, is going to come in because there's Philemon, or Philetus, I'm sorry, and Hymenaeus bring in the doctrine of the resurrection, saying that the resurrection is past already. Well, he doesn't really go heavily into what resurrection. Is it the future hope of the resurrection of the saints? That there is an eternal heaven? And there is an eternal hell? He doesn't go into great detail, and if you'll watch commentators, they will argue that they know. And they'll have this opinion, and that opinion. The point is, it's something about the resurrection that was so corrupt that it caused the overthrow of some person's faith. And he doesn't say what the overthrow was. He doesn't say that they were almost ready to get saved, and then they didn't get saved because they listened to this teaching. He doesn't say it was people who were walking in the faith faithfully and they got so discouraged by hearing this teaching, they stopped living for God. He doesn't even use that detail. He just simply says the doctrine was false teaching. And a pastor is to what? He is to strongly charge his people not to listen to it. Some of you struggle when I name names. Because you think I'm picking on this person or that person or this religion or that religion. Look, you have to name names. You have to rebuke and exhort. Paul has no problem here identifying. Look, Hymenaeus and Philetus, they are teaching false doctrine. Look, the Catholic Church is teaching false doctrine. I don't know the priest, but I do know the false doctrine. You know, the Lutheran Church is preaching a false doctrine. I don't know the parish and who is stationed there right now, but I do know it's a false doctrine. It's a works salvation. It's a you're saved through baptism and then through the keeping of good works. I know that for a fact. But you shouldn't name these other. Whoa! What does he say? Charge the people not to listen to these teachings or these people. You don't hear it anymore. You don't hear pastors naming names, and you don't hear pastors warning the people, charging, and he uses a very strong term here, charge them. Don't do this. Don't listen to these teachings. and stay away from these people. Here's the problem. I don't know what you guys listen to on TV and radio. So I can't even tell you. I mean, the false teachers are so prolific now. They're everywhere. They're on radio. They're on TV. Yeah, we picked our favorites. We picked the Joel Osteens, right? And Nancy D. Lamas. And or maybe she's not even, maybe she's a good one. I can't even keep up with all the names. Joyce Meyer. That was the one I was thinking. Joyce Meyer. And we can pick on those. Because they're the big ones. They're the millionaire, billionaire ones. And, but you know what? There's false teachers all throughout this land. All throughout this community. And all throughout the radio waves. And I have to teach you what the Word says, and I have to warn you, don't listen to the radio unless, radio speakers, unless you've done your research, because they are many smooth-talking charlatans of the Word. So with Jordan and Brock, they say, well, where do I go to listen? Well, you know what? Go to listen with people you trust, you know. So listen to Ross Crowe. Listen to Rick Schrader. Listen to John Scofield. Listen to, there's a lot of pastors who I've vetted and I've watched over years, and I know that they're men of integrity and they're good men. But beyond them, I can't really give you a thumbs up. You're going to have to be discerning, because you can't listen to everybody. And there's a point where you have to be discerning, but be careful. Be careful. I know of people I love, the people I expected more from, people I've observed in this last 2 years compromise their faith by making choices and identifying themselves with other preachers and other churches that they should have no business being in. But that's where they're at. Well, how did they get there? They started listening to endless different ideas. If they're different ideas, the warning is, you better be careful. You better come back to the Word. You better come to your pastor. There is a reason that people go to doctors. Because they what? They studied hard in the field and they should know how to help you. You're not expected to be a medical doctor to be able to take care of every physical problem that comes into your life. But what you are expected is when you come to an impasse and you can't take care of it, you better go to a doctor so that you can get advice and help. Same thing with all of the charlatans that are out there offering advice, and you get spiritually sick and you're wondering why. Maybe it's because you're following some false ideas you don't even realize have taken you down the garden path. So, charge them that they strive not about words of no profit, but to the subverting of themselves. Warn them! Be careful who you listen to. Because you know what? If you listen to everyone out there, you're going to be subverted. You're going to be distracted. You're going to be taken off the way. You're not going to be walking in victorious living. And it's subtle, incremental shifts that you don't realize until after you're fallen over the waterfall. You thought you were safe in the boat, and then all of a sudden, you're going off a cliff. Well, how do you avoid that? Well, make sure you have chosen a church that preaches the Word of God and reminds you of your loyalty to the Word of God and simply keeps reminding you of the Word of God. Make sure you're under a pastor who is willing to expect something of you. Charge them. Hold them responsible. Call them to obedience. If you can come to this church, hear and walk away not challenged, walk away without ever changing, something's wrong in this pulpit. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to divide and asunder. Right? That discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. In other words, it impacts. If the Word of God is being preached here, you should be challenged either to repent or to rejoice. Rejoice because you're doing it and you're obeying it. Repent because you're not doing it. But you should be impacted. because it's not to make you feel good. The Word of God is to help you to grow. Grow. Until when? Until Christ returns. So, have you arrived yet? No. Now he goes on. You do your part to instruct. You warn Timothy. And then he says, be a serious, zealous worker of God. Study to show thyself approved is really work hard. Be zealous at showing yourself approved unto God. What are we supposed to be motivated above everything else? We are to be motivated to please God. A part of us should say, who cares what anybody else thinks? Now, we need to be teachable when you speak into my life. And when you speak into my life and you're saying, the Word of God, I see the Word of God, I see this, then I have to submit. That's the authority of the Word of God. But if your opinion is I shouldn't wear these pants because these pants are too expensive, or I shouldn't bring as a bachelor a T-bone steak to a to a church picnic because it gives the impression I'm rich. You know, we had fun with that. We did.
You shared?
Yeah, I shared. Yeah. I made sure nobody ate it because I cooked it so raw nobody would touch it. Anyway, the point is that there are times when we should hear each other and there are times when we shouldn't care. When I preach the Word of God and somebody comes up and says, and I had this, I shared this with you before. At a church, I had an older gentleman come up to me and he gave me this big, long analogy how he had this really healthy horse. And he was feeding the horse straight oats and the horse was really healthy. And then he said, I mean, I want to save some money, so I'm going to start cutting it back to one third sawdust and one third sawdust and two thirds oats. And the horse did great. He's like, man, I think I better start saving a little bit more money. And now we're going to move her to half and half, right? Half sawdust, half oats. It's like the horse is still going there. And then he goes out and decides he's going to reduce her down to one third oats and two thirds sawdust, and he goes to feed, and the horse is dead. Well, of course, he took all the nutrition away. And he leans over to me and says, "You know, Pastor, it's kind of like you're preaching." I'm like, "Whoa! You're awfully harsh, and all you're doing is harsh, and you're beating on the sheep, and you're not feeding them, you're not encouraging them, you're not giving them the oats." Oh, okay. So I said, you pick out the three worst sermons I preached. The harshest, the most difficult, the whatever. So sure enough, I did that. And I was a young man. So I said, I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. Sent it out to three people, didn't tell them. Why I was sending them, I said, would you please listen to these messages and tell me what you think? And it came back, hey, it was great, I was right on the word, it was cool, that's good stuff, and da, 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 da. I came back to the gentleman, I said, well, here's how much your opinion is worth. Sent it out to these three, and this is what they said, and the question is, did I preach the word? Then you need to deal with you. I'm going to keep preaching the word. That gentleman, when I left that church, come up to me and says, I just want you to know, this is our church, and we can get pastors any day. I think somebody was eating a lot of sawdust spiritually, not a whole lot of oats. Right? He didn't care what God thought. This is my church. Whose church is this? That's right. The building is not the church. We, the people, are the church. So why could I walk away from his criticism? Because it didn't line up with Scripture. Oh, he didn't like me, and he's like, I'm never going to preach again. And Jordan, you're going to get it. I just want you to know. Right now, Grandma and Grandpa, they love you, man. They're going to promote you. They're going to put you on Facebook. They're going to triple send your message across the world. because that's what mom and dads do, and grandma and grandpas do, and friends do, and but you're going to get it. Because if you're going to preach the word, you're going to get those who hate you for preaching the word, and they're going to take it out on you. So that's okay. I hope you're ready. Brock, same thing. If you're going to handle the word, you better recognize that you will have enemies. For what? For doing right. For speaking it straight. So you can't do it to please people. You have to do it to please the Lord. Every one of you struggle with relationships and maintaining relationships and trying to evaluate these relationships. What does he say? Paul says, Timothy, be zealous at what? To show yourself approved unto God. We're going to stop there because we're going to have to take some time to pray. Who are you zealous about pleasing? Who are you zealous about being approved by? Well, daughters want their dads to be happy with them. That's natural, right? Sons and daughters, children, all that dynamic, you want that. But is it conditioned on your obedience to Christ? Is it conditioned on your happiness? Are you not happy if your family's not liking you? Well, then we have a problem. You want the acceptance of your family over the acceptance of God. Because if you're being obedient to God and they're rejecting you at some level, does it hurt? Of course it hurts. But God will fill that void with the joy and countenance of knowing He's well pleased. And if He's well pleased, that's it. So study hard. No, be zealous at being pleasing to God. Now who does that apply to? Just preachers? No, that's all of us. Work hard and make sure you're honoring God in everything you say and do. Will you fail? Absolutely. Will you fail and then grow if you're seeking to please God? Absolutely. You'll learn from each failure and you'll learn from each success. So as we look at what Paul instructs Timothy to do to be a good shepherd, I think there's plenty of application for us, isn't there? Be careful who you listen to. I'm supposed to charge you who not to listen to. Sometimes I have to point out people. Sometimes I have to point out real churches in this community. The Seventh-day Adventists, the Jehovah's Witness, the Lutheran, the Catholic. These are called liberal churches, or they're called cults. The cults are the ones that reject and pervert the doctrine of Christ completely. That would be the Seventh-day Adventists and Jehovah's Witness. The liberal churches, those who take the name of Christ and salvation and they add works to it. They're liberal in their devotion to a literal interpretation of Scripture. They add to the book. And so don't grow weary in me identifying that. Our young people need to understand that, need to know it. Some of you older people say, "Oh, are you picking on them Catholics again?" No, I'm really not. I'm picking on false doctrine. And the Catholic Church embraces false doctrine. And you need to be warned of it. Why are there Christians in the Catholic Church? I don't know. That's God's job to figure out who is. There is no salvation taught in the Catholic Church. Are there Christians in the Lutheran Church? That's God's job. But no salvation is taught in the Lutheran Church. I know people who got saved under Billy Graham crusades coming through this area all the way to Winnipeg that are in Catholic and Lutheran churches. And they can give a clear testimony, but were never taught to leave those churches. And didn't grow an ounce from that point forward. So I'm not going to say that there's no Christians in any of these. I'm saying there's no salvation. Oh, what's my job? To warn you. To identify and charge you. Have nothing to do with them. If you choose to, you're choosing to separate from who we are. Because we can't work with false doctrine. False teaching. We won't work with false doctrine and false teaching. And then make sure your greatest zeal is to please and honor God. Not yourself, not others. And that's hard work, isn't it? That's hard work. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for Timothy's example, and thank you for Paul's instruction to Timothy. I pray that our church family would hold ourselves to the same standard, that we would be embracing doctrine that is pure. We would be separating from false doctrine. That we would be more about pleasing you than keeping earthly relationships. And we would even be willing to suffer the loss of those earthly relationships in order to be obedient to you. May we be doxological to the glory of God. Christological, Christ-centered. Soteriological, giving the gospel to the lost and dying world. Help us not to get sidetracked in these days of confusion, days of a lot of hate and frustration. Help us to be gospel light ambassadors to you and your glorious salvation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.